Stefan, where were you born?
I was born in Bad Neustadt, a little town 50 kilometers in the east of Cologne. And after having studied in Cologne and Bonn, I returned to live here again.
Were your parents musical? Did you come from a musical background?
Yes, there was a musical background. My father used to play a violin in his youth, and he had a very good voice. And my mother played the piano.
What were your earliest musical influences?
I remember that there was always music around me when I was a child. My father used to listen to classical music, like Beethoven's symphonies or piano concerts. And my mother used to play the piano, though she was almost deaf because of a strong influenza in her childhood, and she was forced to bear this deaf aids. But however, she tried to listen to music and to play music herself. It was always difficult for her, but she had a strong interest in music. And I remember these summer evenings when I was in my room and she played Bach's well-tempered piano, and I liked it very much. I was a child. I had 4 or 5 years.
When you went to school, did the schools have a good music program?
There was a music program when I went to school, but it was a quite conventional way to teach music, like singing these German folk songs or hearing all kinds of classical music, analysis of harmonics and so on. I think it's quite important to do this, but the music we were really interested in, like pop music or improvised music, this was not possible to hear this in school or to analyze it in the lessons.
Did you have a tendency to hang around people who were musically inclined, or were your friends from a varied background?
Yes, I had some friends who were very much interested in music, and we used to hear music together and talk about it, like all forms of pop music, rock music. We heard at the beginning we used to hear very hard rock music, like Deep Purple, Black Sabbath, and things like this.
Were you in any bands growing up?
Because of my upcoming interest in popular music and rock music, I tried to find some friends to be able to form a band. And at the end, we were 4 friends to perform our first compositions. And at the beginning, I played the acoustic piano in this band, but I realized that this instrument is much too low to be if you are a member of a rock band, and I decided to change the instrument, and I decided to play organ, and I persuaded my parents to buy me an organ which you could construct, which you could build yourself. And at the age of 14, I began to build this organ. I began to sold. I began to put these little things like chips and transistors and so on together. There were some technical difficulties, but at the end it worked. And I played this organ in our band, and we played our own compositions. We played some songs of Genesis and Yes. It was a kind of art rock that we were doing in this time. But it was the beginning of my interest in improvised music.
What was the first musical instrument you were attracted to as a child?
It was the piano, and at the age of 8, I began to learn it myself, and this was a decision I never had to regret in my life.
What music did you listen to growing up?
At first, I listened to the same music as my parents, classical music, sometimes play Bach, this French pianist who improvises on preludes of Johann Sebastian Bach and so on. And then I used to hear German popular music in the radio. Today I would say horrible stuff, but it was the first occasion to hear music in the radio and to hear different music in the radio as I was used to before. And then I began to have a strong interest in pop music. I heard the Beatles for the first time. A friend of mine, he offered me Let It Be. This was a great experience for me. And then I heard Deep Purple and Genesis, Uriah Heep. In my hometown we had UFO here, this English hard rock band. And I heard Exception, this Netherlands, this art rock or classic rock band from the Netherlands, and it was quite hard music. And later on, I began to have more interest in this. Art rock music like Yes and Genesis was not so hard music, and then the interest in jazz began to grow up. Gentle Giant was a bit more jazzy, and then I heard funk music, and this was the first step to begin to play jazz myself.
What setting do you prefer expressing yourself, solo, group, orchestral?
Honestly speaking, I prefer playing within a group because of this special kind of communication between the musicians. I've done other projects as a piano duet or duet with a saxophonist, and I like them also, but I think this playing together, this is unique, and for me it's the most important thing to do. Piano solo is also a challenge, but it's quite different because you are alone with your thoughts, with your musical thoughts and your improvisation, and this is very interesting too, but I prefer playing with different musicians as saxophonists, trumpet players and drummer and bass player. This is a very, very good thing for me.
When growing up, did you watch much TV and maybe listen to the radio?
My parents bought their first TV when I was 8 years old, I think. This was rather late, but in the late 60s, the beginning 70s, it was not usual to have a TV in every house in Germany, like it was in the USA or perhaps in Canada, I don't know. And the influence of the TV was not so important. Later on, I saw some pop shows and at TV, but I think for me the radio was more important, and I learned much about music through hearing, listening to the radio, to the different radio shows. I said it before. At first, I listened to popular, very popular music with German texts, and then I moved to English pop music, and this was for me was a very important thing, and this had a great influence on my development, I think.
At what point did you know that you wanted to become a serious musician?
I took my first piano lessons at the age of 8, and my musical development was going on quite normal. But when I began to play in this rock band, I became quite lazy, and practicing classical piano at home was no more interesting for me. And when I was 16, my father and me we talked together, and he said to me, you are, in my opinion, you are very gifted concerning your piano playing, and you must try to become a piano student or to study piano, but he meant classical piano. And I thought about it, and at the end I decided to try it, and I began to practice much harder than before. And when I was 18, when I was 19, I began to study at the Cologne Conservatory of Music to become a music teacher at the beginning, and afterwards I studied classical piano, and my development in jazz music was a parallel thing.
What jazz pianist influenced your style of playing?
Of course, I was amazed by the playing of Herbie Hancock, Keith Jarrett, Chick Corea, and also Bill Evans. These were certainly great influences on my own pianistic development. But I also like to hear these pianists working more freely, like Cecil Taylor or the German pianist Alexander von Schlippenbach, who played in the very famous, in Europe it's the very famous band in the Globe Unity Orchestra. And this were also very important experiences for me.
What was it about their playing that you enjoyed so much?
I've always been admiring Herbie Hancock for his rhythmic sovereignty, and I like Keith Jarrett for his melodic lines, Chick Corea because of his folkloric elements in his music, this Spanish kind of playing. McCoy Tyner I liked because of his strength in composing and playing. Bill Evans, he was very important for me because of his density in playing and the fluent lines he produces on the piano. And Cecil Taylor and all the other free pianists I admire for their sovereignty in mastering the open elements, the free elements in music, and playing open music as they do.
What other musicians were an influence on you musically, and why?
Miles was very important for me because he tried to do something new all the time. He integrated new styles in his music. He tried to integrate new musicians and always was searching for something new. Charlie Parker and John Coltrane, almost the same thing. They did revolutionary things for jazz music. They were always one step ahead, and this is the important thing they've done for the whole music. And then Charles Mingus for me is very important. He was a great composer. He was very difficult human being, but he was really great composer and arranger. Perhaps I could mention Bud Powell. He was a very gifted pianist. And yes, I think these are the most important musicians that had influence on me.
Do you ever listen to older recordings to learn maybe a new technique or an idea that you might want to incorporate into what you're doing now?
I think it's very important for an improviser to learn what I would call the old masters have done. I excerpted some solos from older recordings, from Parker, Coltrane, later on from Korea, and also from Hancock. It was for me, it was a kind of analysis to see what they are doing harmonically or melodically. But I think after that, you have to find your own style of playing. This is the most important thing, not to copy something, but to find your own way to play the piano or to improvise.
One of your earlier recordings, specifically Pink, strikes me as a thematic statement held together by the compositions, in that there seems to be a common thread running throughout.
When we prepared Pink, which was, by the way, the first album with my former quartet in 1996, I think, we tried to be very exact in preparing the arrangements and the kicks and the themes and so on. It was hard work, but at the end there was a good recording coming out. And if nowadays I used to listen to this recording, I'm satisfied with it. Though all musicians have done different recordings afterwards and made different developments in their musical career.
Do you look for situations that may be musically challenging to you? I know as a jazz musician this can be a lifelong quest.
Yes, you are right. Improvisation is an everlasting challenge in your whole musical life, I think. And there are some elements that always push you on. For instance, playing for a new audience, perhaps in a foreign country, other reactions on your music, always trying to play with new musicians sometimes, and always developing new musical projects, recording new CDs. And these elements together are the challenge, I think, of a jazz musician.
My favorite recording of yours is your moving tribute to the Beatles. Stefan, how did that recording come about?
Hearing the music of the Beatles was one of my first experiences in my youth when I began to be interested in music in general, apart from my classical piano studies in this time. And I always liked the way Lennon and McCartney did their songs. It was this kind of melodical construction and this unique way to form the harmonical changes in their songs that was extraordinary for me. And one time when I thought of what I could do next in my jazz career, I thought to do adaptations of Beatles songs, and this was the beginning of the recording Beatles songs with the Stefan Heitmann Quartet.
I'd like to feature some music from this release, Stefan. What would you like to hear?
I would choose two songs from this Beatles album. First of all, the song "Come Together," which is done in a five-beat measure, and perhaps as a contrast, "Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds," which is a beautiful ballad, I think. But you must guess if you can recognize the theme or the harmonics. It's a bit difficult to see how I've done this adaptation.
Are there any musicians who are no longer with us who you would have liked to have played with or even record with?
If it was not sounding too exaggerated, I certainly would have liked to have played with Miles Davis, because he was always a very innovative musician, open for something new. But there is a long list of others which I prefer. It's a bit difficult to say because they are too many. There are too many musicians, good musicians, that I like.
Any past or present German musicians that you hold in high regard when it comes to music?
I'm very lucky that in my own quintet, some of the most important German jazz musicians are joined together, as Gerd Dudek, who plays in very important bands since the early 60s. He was member of the German All-Stars, he was member of the Globe Unity Orchestra. Also Rainer Winterschladen, the trumpetist in my band, he also is a very famous musician in whole Europe. Dieter Mannerscheid, the bass player, I think he's one of the most gifted bass players in Germany. And the drummer Klaus Kuhl also, he's one of the leading representatives of contemporary music in Germany. But there are certainly others which I admire. I would say that Albert Mangelsdorf, the trombone player from Frankfurt, is one of the most important instrumentalists in Germany. Or my colleague on the piano, Achim Kaufmann, who is a very good contemporary player. And there are many others, but let's say these are the most important for me.
Now, if you had to make a recording with another pianist, who would it be?
Some years ago, I did a recording with Christoph Spendel, who is rather famous as a pianist in the USA, I think. He is a bit more popular player. We did a duet together on a recording. But nowadays, if I had the choice, I would like to play with a colleague who plays more freely, more open music. Certainly I would choose Cecil Taylor or pianists who play like him, perhaps Alexander von Schlippenbach, the German free jazz player. This would be more rewarding to me today.
If you had to form a dream band, who would it consist of, and what pieces would you choose if you were to make a recording?
Honestly speaking, I found the dream band in my own project, and I have no further wishes for other musicians. And I try to play my own compositions all the time, because it's the best way to realize my my thoughts of music.
Do you have a particular brand of piano that you use when playing, for example, maybe a Steinway or a Bösendorfer or even a Yamaha?
Yes, I'm a real fan of Steinway pianos. This is, for me, this is a unique instrument. By the way, I own one myself, a Steinway B Grand, and I'm very proud of owning one. And it's a marvelous instrument, and I like very much to play it because of its brilliant sound, and the touch is very good. For me, it's the optimum.
Ambivalence seems to be a recording where you're discovering yourself, or maybe rediscovering yourself as a musician. Any comments on this?
I think every pianist, especially jazz pianist, once in his life wants to record something on his own solo. And I also had this this idea 2 or 3 years ago. And yes, I went into a studio. I was alone with this grand piano and the recorder. Yes, and I did some things which I prepared as a composition, but I also integrated elements which were constructed in the moment and were pure improvisation. And this was a great experience for me, and I liked it very much, and I think I will do something similar in the future.
Thank you.
How long have you known the members of your group?
Most of them 3 years. With Klaus Kugel, the drummer, I've been playing for 4 years together. And the bass player, Dieter Manderscheid, he has replaced the Polish double bass player, Witold Reck, last summer.
How do you prepare when you go into the studio to record?
It's always the same thing. First I try to find something on the piano, to find some melodic structure together with the harmonic structure. Then you try to arrange it for the whole band. Then you write the scores and send them to the musicians. They have a look at it. You have a rehearsal, and then you try to play play the new compositions in public, and afterwards you go into the studio to do the record.
Touring outside Germany to different countries can be a musical learning experience. Stefan, describe how those tours came about and how they furthered your musical development.
That's right. It's a special experience to perform outside of your home country, to play in foreign countries. Let me give you one example. Last year we were invited to come to Mexico. The German embassy in Mexico City invited us to play at a great festival in this town. And afterwards we did a tour in the whole country with concerts in Monterrey in the north, and in Merida, Campeche, and so on. And it was a great experience because the audience in Mexico was quite different to the audience in Europe. There was more enthusiasm. The people were very attentive and interested in our kind of music, in our kind of playing this open and a bit free music. Perhaps because they were more used to hear standards or mainstream jazz. I don't know. But this was a great experience for us. And I often think of this tour. And I'm sure that this had a certain influence in arranging and composing and so on.
Now, with the emergence of the internet, how has this new paradigm affected your relation with your fans?
Without communicating by email, it would not have been easily possible to get in contact with fans, with the audience from other continents. And for this reason, the internet is a very good possibility to stay in contact with all interested people.
Working in a group setting such as on Blue Sand and Green Sky, it comes across as a chance to not only work with some of Germany's finest musicians, but also throw around some ideas along the way. What was it like doing this session?
I think the album Blue Sand and Green Sky was a significant change in my musical development, because for the first time I took compositions which were no longer in a normal song form, but there were themes arranged themes for the group, But after having played these themes, there was very much space for the solos, for playing together, for improvising together. And this was quite different comparing this album to the others. It was the entrance to the, I would say, to the European avant-garde of jazz. And this was also caused by my musicians, by Gerd Dudek, the genius on tenor saxophone, or Rainer Winterschlagen, the trumpetist who is very famous in Germany. And all these musicians together, they formed a unique sound, which was quite different to the sound I realized on the other albums.
What plans do you have for the future in terms of recordings and various projects?
In October, we'll do a new recording, in combination with the tour through whole Germany. Same thing in the next year. We've planned two tours around Germany and other countries nearby, as the Netherlands, Austria, or Switzerland. And for the future, I'd like to strengthen the contacts to foreign countries, and I would like to find tour managers who like our kind of open music and are interested in organizing concerts, for instance, in the USA and Canada. This would be very nice to strengthen our position.
When you're writing your material, what inspires you? Are you influenced by your Germanic roots, folkloric music, or maybe something else?
No, I'm not really influenced by my German folkloric roots or something like that. I think I cannot hide classical influences, but because I studied classical piano. Someone said it sounds a bit like Alexander Scriabin, the Russian composer. I would say I'm always searching a good sound, and I always have a great desire for sound. I would like to show something how I develop a musical idea. But a short example on my, by the way, you will hear my Steinway now.
Say that was some really, really nice playing there, Stefan. Now, if you were stranded on a desert island and you only had 10 recordings to bring along with you, which ones would they be and why?
It would certainly not only be jazz music. First, I would take with me Bach, the well-tempered piano interpreted by Glenn Gould, then the St. Matthew's Passion, from a Beethoven piano concert, then from Keith Jarrett, I'd like to take with me Tribute, a double album recorded in Cologne. Herbie Hancock with Speak Like a Child, Miles Davis, Live at the Plugged Nickel. Sting, I would like to take with me Brand New Day. This is a very, very one of my famous recordings. Then some Greek folkloric music, a French chanson singer like Bernard Lavilliers, and at the end Cuban music like Buena Vista Social Club.
I'd like to feature Three Ways of a View. Now, there has to be a story behind this piece. The title alone sounds very intriguing.
Three Ways of View is a piece by my former drummer Gerd Breuer from the album Pink. And perhaps the title shows a bit the ambiguity of this piece, because when you first hear it, you might think that the rhythm is quite strange, and you may not guess what measure there is. You might think it's an odd meter song, but it's nothing like this. It's a normal 4/4 measure. And when we first heard this song, it was very hard to get the entrance into it, and we had to arrange quite a bit, and we had to work hard on this song to have a good arrangement and so on. But at the end, it was I think it was a quite unique kind of composition, and we liked it very much.